It's time for EcoTalk with host Betsy Rosenberg.
She'll be great. She's a very smart, capable person who knows exactly what took place and will lay out the facts. And that's what the American people want to see.
I had a dream the other night. Now, in my dream, our national bird had become the ostrich.
Hello and welcome to EcoTalk. Today we are talking about your body from head to toe to, yes, even your behind. And who's not watching your behind? Well, that would be your FDA and your EPA. Stay tuned for an explanation. First, we're going to chat with Frank O'Donnell of Clean Air Watch, EcoTalk's clean air correspondent calling in from D.C. If that name sounds familiar, yes, he was on last week and now he's back to tell us what happened. And we really kind of busted this conspiracy, really. Maybe that's not too strong a word about what is happening at the Environmental Protection Agency that's supposed to protect our air, water, and other things necessary for life. How decisions are being made, what role politics has. Well, he has the lowdown on the particle soot decision and the backroom conspiring that took place between the EPA, its PR spinmeisters, and dirty industry, thanks to directives from the Bush administration. Next, we'll have California Deputy Attorney General Harrison Pollack talking about how to clean up our air. It's California's new lawsuit against the big six car companies, holding them accountable for damages, both environmental and health, caused by global warming. Remember when we first went after tobacco companies? Well, this is something similar and could be the start of a turning point in lowering CO2 emissions from our cars. Next, we're going to chat with Charlotte Brody of Commonweal, Healthcare Without Harm, and the Safe Cosmetics Campaign. She'll give us the scoop on some of the toxic chemicals found in our everyday products, everything from makeup to shampoo to deodorant, and it's not a pretty picture. Either is what happened last week in the back rooms. Talks between EPA officials, their own scientists, and a few others who might have been in the room. Frank O'Donnell, what happened on that decision?
Well, Betsy, this story reminds me a little bit of a cross between what happened at Three Mile Island, the big nuclear meltdown in Pennsylvania, and a murder mystery, except that in this case, our government is the culprit. And let me explain. You're probably too young to remember Three Mile Island, but back then they had a fiasco on their hands. They knew they had radiation problems and all that. And you had all the officials at the plant sitting around going, we've got a mess here. What will we tell the media? And they spent a couple of days doing that. We've got the same kind of dynamic here happened with the EPA and its decision on particle soot. If you remember, they were looking at the whole issue about what level of particle soot in the air is safe to breathe. And the EPA is supposed to look at the science. They're supposed to evaluate the science honestly and then set a standard that is adequate to protect the breathing public with an adequate margin of safety, and that's the legal test in the Clean Air Act. In this case, they basically decided, in conjunction with the White House, that they would set standards that were looked a little bit better than the standards that were set 10 years ago, but not really the standards as good enough as science would call for. They wanted to set standards that would not require big polluting industries like the electric power industry to have to do any more cleanup than they already have planned for the future. And so that's what they did. The EPA bypassed the advice of its own science advisors and came out with essentially what we thought was a very bad standard, one that is going to end up causing literally thousands of excess deaths in this country every year because the air will be too dirty. And what happened here was especially appalling is that the top people at the EPA, political appointees of the Bush administration, essentially were locked in a room for a couple of days sitting around with some PR professionals trying to say, how will we spin this to the public? They knew they had a bad decision.
Well, I'll tell you how they're spinning it. In my inbox were all these press releases from Sierra Club, Earth Justice, all the green groups saying outrageous, the EPA failed us. And then sure enough, here's a press release from the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. I'm on their list. It says EPA strengthens U.S. air quality standards. You know, talk about parallel universe.
It really is like that. And they did some appalling things. The head of the EPA didn't really want to have to meet with reporters and have them grill them too much, and they really tried to dampen any kind of public coverage of this kind of thing. So what they did is, rather than invite in camera crews and so forth, they sent out an email 1 hour before they would do a phone call, and this was late in the afternoon after telling reporters, including the New York Times and others, that they weren't going to make any kind of announcement that day. sent out a thing saying, okay, you got an hour from now, we'll get you on a phone call. And during that phone call, literally the reporters got virtually nothing more than propaganda and spin. The spin that the EPA head, Stephen Johnson, gave them was essentially, and his talking points were, well, I'm a scientist, so you ought to trust me. And secondly,
a career scientist.
Yeah,
that's what he
says. Career scientist, so you ought to trust me. And secondly, our science advisors were not in agreement, so that leaves me the wiggle room to kind of make a tough call.
Yeah,
what he didn't say...
The split was?
what he didn't say is that, yeah, he had 22 science advisors, and 20 of the 22 said that EPA was doing the wrong thing, that they were setting weak standards. The other two guys work for industry. One's a chemical industry consultant, and the other one, so help me, works for General Motors. He's a meteorologist for General Motors. The vast majority of EPA science advisors said that they should be setting tougher standards than they actually did.
Well, while this sounds like a joke, a bad joke at that, it has serious consequences. What cost will we Americans bear because of this action or lack of action?
This is an issue that is still being studied, but I can tell you at a minimum, you will see thousands of more people dying prematurely each year as a result of this. You will see tens of thousands more people having asthma attacks, heart attacks, incidences of chronic bronchitis, and other problems that emanate from particle soot, which is the kind of stuff that comes from coal burning, diesel trucks, traffic, smokestack industries, and the like. Microscopic particles, often so small we can't even see them, but they get inside our bodies. They go all the way down through the lungs, all the way into the heart, into the bloodstream, cause heart irregularities, in many cases heart attacks and other kinds of problems, even cancer to some extent.
Okay, so if you're listening, your blood is starting to boil and you want to do something, Matt is heck not going to take it anymore. In just a minute, we're going to give out Stephen Johnson's the head of the EPA. We're going to give out his phone number so you can personally call him. So have your pens and paper ready. I mean, this is really something that needs to be, as I say, let's rewind, replay, freeze frame, and really expose what goes on. And this can't be an isolated incident.
No, and it's not an isolated incident. There is a pattern of behavior that we have seen with the Bush administration where science essentially has been perverted to fit a policy agenda. I mean, there's probably no case more known than global warming, where the Bush administration had political spinmeisters meddle with scientific reports. In one case, they actually excised from an EPA report on the state of the environment any discussion of global warming, which made it literally a joke. In another case, your friend Phil Cooney, a former and later ExxonMobil lobbyist type who was working at the White House, was putting his red pen through government reports about global warming. And trying to soften the connection between the emissions and the problem. So this is part of an unfortunate pattern we've seen going on for some years now, where the Bush administration has really perverted science and distorted it in terms of its public communications in order to sell a different kind of story to the American public.
Okay, we just have about a minute and a half left, but I want you just to quickly summarize the difference between one component, the daily fine particle standard, which was changed and strengthened, I suppose, but the annual, which is not. What's the real difference there?
There are two differences. Fine particle pollution can hurt you in two ways. One is how much you may take in a given day if you have a particularly high level of it on a given day. The other is the amount of chronic fine particle pollution you may breathe in. From day in and day out, averaged over the course of a year. Both of these things are important. There are two standards right now that govern that. The EPA lowered to some degree the 24-hour standard, which means that some communities might have to take a little more action to reduce the peak levels, the highest levels of particle soot. I think that the evidence is out there, though, that the annual standard is probably the one that is more relevant because it's the amount of chronic pollution in the air. It's the stuff that comes typically from a power plant. And this is why the Bush administration did not change that.
And that
because
was set,
they wanted to protect the power industry.
And that was set about 10 years ago and now has not been updated to reflect current reality. Thanks so much for keeping us honest on this. Want to give Steve Johnson, he's the head of the EPA, his phone number. If you want to call and register your displeasure at this action or inaction, 202-564-5400. 4700. We hardly ever give out phone numbers in the radio, but we just have to make sure you get this again. 202-564-4700. Let them know how you feel. Thanks so much for joining us, Frank O'Donnell. We'll be checking back in with you. And by the way, I was in college during Three Mile Island, so I must sound younger than I am.
Well, thank you. You definitely do.
Thanks. Well, our voices don't age. That's the good news. We'll be back right after this.